By to the temple was a meat market. And the issue is, could the Corinthian members go to the pagan temple meat market or meat grocery store? Could not go to the worship services. But could they go to another building down the street that had meat in it, that had been sacrificed in the temple? And actually, it would not be right or wrong. Basically, it's a personal decision whether to go to that meat market. On the other hand, the other issue is, would it hurt other Christians? Would it hurt other Christians who had recently stopped becoming pagans and they had recently changed? So it's not a matter of right and wrong, but it was a matter of, would it help other people if you made the choice not to eat meat out of a temple meat market? Of a related issue, can a Christian go to a bar? Yeah. Should they? Maybe not. Depends whether they have had problems in the past. Depends upon whether it would bother other people that are their friends and wouldn't have to do it. So that's kind of like a related issue. Here is a temple meat market. The closest thing now would be Muslims. We don't have any Muslim grocery stores around here that I know of. My friend that owns sheep in Michigan, he would have the Michigan Muslims come out and get a sheep, and they will pray, and they will do rituals over it, and they will sacrifice it. Then they will take the meat back to their house to have some sort of ritual at home. Now, we don't have much of that, but could my friend eat part of that sheep? Yeah, it wouldn't be right or wrong. He's an elder in the Bible church in Michigan, too, but wouldn't be right or wrong. In some places, there are Muslim grocery stores. Maybe they've prayed over the meat. Could we get it? Yes. Would it hurt people's feelings? It could. Maybe it's best not to. One step further down would be a Jewish grocery store. A rabbi has prayed over this. Should we go get it? Wouldn't be right or wrong. It might bug somebody who has been Jewish and has trusted in Jesus. We usually don't get Jewish meat. We do get cookies because I started them on an airplane flying over there and flying back. And here are these Jewish cookies, and United has them. So they're 99 cents, and often passing by, here are these cookies. Somewhere way back in a factory over in there, made in Israel, some factory over there, a rabbi prayed over them. It doesn't matter. I don't know how to make a relationship, but in the old days, Albertsons was down here on Bell Street, and the Mormons owned it. So when they got a profit, it went to the Mormons. Should you go to Albertsons? It doesn't matter that much unless it bothers a person. That's kind of the answer here of what's going on. But Paul is saying you might want to see if it bugs people, particularly temple meat, or maybe going to a tavern now. I don't think that my friend eats the Muslim meat that they sacrificed, but it wouldn't be wrong if he did. However, it's just as easy to go get another sheep. All it is delaying one's rights for a little while in the presence of certain people. Well, that's Paul's main topic. It doesn't really matter that much now. But in this verse, though, we have a theological topic. It was side issue to him, but what we have here in verse 4, God is one. Then we have in verse 6, there are two persons, Father and Son. And then, of course, coming in 1 Corinthians is there's gifts from the Holy Spirit. So putting them all together, we have God as one. Then we have there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the way through the Bible, we have God as one, but three persons. In the Old Testament, lots of God is one verses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's called the Shema because that's the Hebrew word for hear. And they would often quote Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Lots of one verses in the Old Testament. Just using Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 45. Isaiah 44, there is no God beside me. Isaiah 44 again, is there any God beside me? I don't know of any. Isaiah 45, I am the Lord, there is no other. Stress on oneness in the Old Testament, but they do have different persons even in the Old Testament. Not as strong, but they're there. In Philippians 2, you are my son, I have begotten you. And then it says, do homage to the Son or worship the Son. So you have Father and Son, Psalms 2. Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord. Well, there are two Lords. And David's not talking about himself. David is writing, he's the king, and we have one Lord said to my Lord. There's two Lords, Old Testament even. Zechariah 3 is talking about a judgment. And it says that the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you. So what you have is a God the Son is kind of like a prosecuting attorney, and he's criticizing Satan. And the Lord said to God the Father on the throne, the Lord rebuke you. So, two Lords. Not as many in the Old Testament, but sufficient. One God, three persons. New Testament has the same thing, what you have here in 1 Corinthians 8, 1, 1, 1, God, but Father and Son with Holy Spirit coming. There are a lot of these. You have at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God comes down like a dove. Spirit of God comes down like a dove, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So here's the dove picturing the Holy Spirit, and then the Father talks to the Son. All three of them right there at the baptism. Great Commission. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. John 14. And I, Jesus talking, I, God the Son, will ask the Father, and He will send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. I, the Son, will ask the Father, He will send you the Holy Spirit. Well, I have a whole lot more of them, and you'll believe it. You can get a list. There's all kinds of texts that are one God, three persons, and you got one right here. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Back to the eating of the dieting is verse 8. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor better if we do eat. Well, salvation is not by following the kosher diet or Levitical diet of the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament. We're not saved by what we eat. And we are not saved if we fast. You have that parable in the temple. You have the tax collector and the Pharisee. And I thank you, God, I'm not like this guy. I fast twice a week. And okay, but Jesus didn't care about the prayer because at least the tax collector wanted forgiveness for his sins. So, not saved by diet. Doesn't matter whether a person eats ham or shrimp or catfish. Doesn't matter. We're not under the law of Moses, so we're not saved by that. Back now to verse 9, whereby we do know that it doesn't matter what we eat, but we kind of might have to watch other people. That's verse 9. But take care that this freedom of yours, this liberty of yours, does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, we'd say the grocery store, not supposed to go in the temple, but go into the meat market, will not his conscience, if it is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is harmed, ruined, the brother for whom Christ died. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, which he did, but he's theoretically saying, not around these people, won't eat meat in the temple grocery store, so I will not cause my brother to stumble. Some matters are not directly right or wrong. I mean, some are. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Some are matters of right and wrong, definitely. Some are not mentioned in the Bible. We could go one way or the other, but it might be helpful to think about how it impacts other people. I always think of my parents. My parents had a missionary coming. The missionary worked in India. And in order to work in India, he would not eat meat. They were vegetarians. When I was a little kid, I thought, you're kidding me. So we had these people that lived in India, and they were coming to America for a visit, and they were at our house, but they wanted to be able to go back to India and say, we are vegetarians also, because they thought they'd get more respect and maybe be able to evangelize them. So my mother made macaroni and cheese and homemade vegetable soup and bread, homemade bread. So we got away with it for Sunday at noon, and then as soon as we could on Monday, we went back to the other way. But what he's saying here is around other people, you might have a right to do something, but maybe at least while you're around them, you can make a decision for them and go a different way that would not be wrong either. So in the matter of not eating meat that was out of the temple butcher shop, they could go get it. But he's saying, also think about other people. And think about other people that would be harmed if they went to the temple butcher shop, because they're not quite as strong. Christian liberty is coming. Here, talking about, as we get to chapter 9, about offerings, Paul's offering, but he didn't use all of his liberties. And that's what he's suggesting here, is that don't use all your liberties, if at least for the time being. All this subject is talking about, go to a Christian farmer. If it'll help other people, don't go to the pagan, now Muslim, don't go to their meat market. Go to a different one. And of course, the Corinthians could have waited a day or had a meal without meat while these other people were around that it bothered them. And just wait another day and go to a Christian livestock owner. Just as in verses 4 through 6, there was a Trinity topic away from the main topic, we're going to have that now as we continue in chapter 9. Paul's going to continue to talk about his freedom to do things, but he sometimes didn't do everything he could do. And that's the main topic, not using all your liberties if it helps others. But in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we get the definition of an apostle. So we'll sometimes do the theological part of it, but he's still talking about freedom to eat meat in the meat market, but he's said, might not do that. Chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my evangelistic missionary work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So the topic, his topic is still about I have the freedom to do stuff. It wouldn't be right or wrong, but I sometimes, Paul is saying, I sometimes don't do everything I could do because I'm around other people and I do what is in their best interest. That's his main topic. We will go in the theological direction of the definition of an apostle. An apostle had to have seen the risen Lord. We see that in verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? To be an apostle, one had to have seen the risen Lord, which means there aren't any of them today. There are churches and there are pastors that are a little mixed up and they call themselves Apostle So-and-so. And they'll drive by on the sign, who works here, Apostle So-and-so. Well, if they leave it alone, it's not the worst problem. But to be in the Bible, a book has to be written by an apostle or as a co-worker under the supervision of the apostle. So it does kind of matter to say there are no more apostles, because it means no one today can write a book and say this belongs in the Bible. And no one today can say, God gave me a message that all you people everywhere have to obey. I personally would allow from time to time for personal messages. I don't think that I would have to rule those out. I've had people tell me, God told me so-and-so was going to die. And I'm thinking of these people and... Okay, personal message. But an apostle is be like, God told me, and I've heard seen this on the television, God told me that all you people everywhere ought to send money to Tulsa. Well, there are no messages for all people everywhere. And there are no more apostles. When in the book of Acts they were going to replace Judas the traitor, they said, we're going to get together and we're going to find a new apostle who can be a witness with us of his resurrection. That's Acts 1:22. To be an apostle, one had to have lived a long time ago and have seen the risen Lord. There are no more apostles, and that fits. There are no more books added to the Bible. What actually fits the Book of Mormon and fits the Quran. No apostles. I mean, they have errors in them anyway, but no apostles. There are no more books to the Bible. You can't add any more books to the Bible after the people who have seen the risen Lord. Well, I just mentioned two that say they are God's Word and are not. I don't know of any others. I did hear just once on the news somebody thought that we should add Martin Luther King's books to the Bible. Well, he never said that. So they say that. He himself never said that. But then there were some followers that say, no, there are no more apostles. The canon of the Old Testament was done when the apostles were done. Therefore, these two books are not legitimate. No apostles, no more books of the Bible, no Quran, no Book of Mormon. It stopped when the apostles stopped. And also in terms of verbal messages, I think God can give an individual talk to a person just for now. And I wouldn't say they're all wrong. I don't want to. On the other hand, in terms of someone saying, God told me all people everywhere have to do this, I don't believe that. There are no more apostles. And really, if we want to study the apostles' messages, we're trying today. We're using the books they wrote. Or one step would be like the Gospel of Mark was written by a non-apostle, but Peter supervised it. And Luke was not an apostle, but he was a co-worker with Paul. So it has to be an apostle or under the supervision of an apostle, or else it's not legitimate. And the newer books have all errors in them anyway, but they didn't get any messages from God. Back to Christian Liberty next time, where Paul will say he had a right to take money from missionary work, from the new churches and the new converts, and even the unsaved people, but he didn't think that was best, so he did not use his liberty. He will use his own illustration. Will the musicians please come?